You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Yeah, we're going to have more on Joe Burrow and the Bengals situation in just a minute. But first, let's welcome you inside our show, our breakfast table. Good Morning Football live in New York City. As always, it's Wednesday, May 17th. Look at this. Look at this beautiful group right here. Jamie Erdl, Kyle Brandt, Peter Schrager, Jason McCourty. Gentlemen, it has been a minute since the four of us were together.
Yes.
How does it make you feel,
Kyle? Feels awesome. It's been the three of us. I know Harry's been here, but... you're back.
I'm back.
Time for the lead block.
Lead block.
Headband Joe reporting for duty. A lot of videos coming out on social media of Joe Burrow showing up for workouts. That's a look. That's what works for the Bengals. This is phase two of Bengals offseason training as it gets underway in Cincinnati. The Bengals have already picked up Burrow's fifth-year option. A lot of times that's just paperwork because you know that negotiations are underway to secure Joe Burrow's long-term future with the team. Burrow, though, the quarterback, was asked about any progress in terms of contract negotiations at his first presser of this offseason.
You know, I'm involved, and it's in the works. That's... not really something that I like to play out in the media. That's something just the way I think they want to do business. I want to do business. We prefer to keep that between us. Whenever you have guys on the team that need to be paid, that's always on your mind. You want that to be a focal point, and so we're working to make that happen. Pretty clear on what I want and in the contract and what I think is best for myself and the team. And so we're on the road to making that happen. You got to have good players. I mean, it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is. If you don't have good players around him, you're not going to be a very good team.
True words have never been spoken. Many mouths to feed in Cincinnati. But some might argue that Joe Burrow deserves to be somewhere on this list of the highest paid quarterbacks at the moment in the NFL. And considering the current highest paid quarterback, Lamar Jackson, has never taken his team to a Super Bowl the way Burrow has, they may have a point. But how can we meet in the middle here between the two sides? You got Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They have to make this thing work as it pertains to the cap and all the other guys that he wants to be able to throw to. So should Joe Burrow, the concept is, be willing to take a team discount in order to make the Bengals go and be the juggernaut they want to be?
He doesn't have to. He could say, give me the top dollar, and I deserve the top dollar. And I think he deserves more money than all those guys based on what he's done going into his next contract. But I'm listening to his answers to the reporters, and I wonder if he doesn't. You know, he's going to be measured... Joe Burrow by Super Bowls. He's not going to be a guy who's ever going to be measured by, look at all the stats that he's had, and he's not going to be measured by the guy like some of these other athletes and players that are like individual. Joe Burrow is going to be Super Bowls. He's already taken his team to one. He's already taken them to the AFC Championship last year, and we're a couple plays short of it. I look at what else Cincinnati has coming up down the pike besides Joe Burrow, and take a look at some of these other pending free agents over the next couple years. T. Higgins, that's this upcoming offseason. Tyler Boyd, this coming offseason. Logan Wilson, an outstanding linebacker for them this coming offseason. Mixon's already gotten his big deal once. He'll be up again. Hendrickson was the big free agent signing from last year. Collins I picked up. You look at that one really small there Chase. At the bottom. Ja'Marr Chase will get his fifth year picked up, but eventually he's going to be in the same spot that Burrow's in right now. It'll just be next year, and you're going to say, okay, well, when is he getting his big deal? So in the media, we'll jigger the numbers however you need to do it. We'll say he's got this much, he's the highest paid on average, and this is that, and his signing bonus makes him the most guaranteed. Like, every time a quarterback signs a deal, we'll find the 18th way to say that this is the one who's the highest paid in the league.
Yeah.
I just saw on a board that Lamar Jackson's the highest paid in the league. I don't know. I could twist and turn the number 16 different ways to tell you that someone else is the highest paid quarterback in the league, and Patrick Mahomes might redo his deal tomorrow or Thursday or whatever, and he'll have the highest. I don't think that's where Burrow's at. $45 million as opposed to $50 million and we can bring back T. Higgins. $40 million as opposed to $50 million and we can get back Higgins and we can get back Chase. Burrow might be cut from a different cloth. I'm not saying the other guys are out for their... No. Burrow might be that outlier, that guy that we've seen do it once in NFL history, who I am sure will come up in this conversation anytime you talk about quarterback contracts.
Yeah, it's always so interesting to me because Burrow takes a hometown discount. Does that ensure that the other guys are going to do the same?
Question.
So you just mentioned guys like T. Higgins, guys like Ja'Marr Chase, both who are number one wide receivers in this league. Obviously, with them both being on the same team, T. Higgins seems to be the number two. But now T. Higgins' deal is about to be up. Is he willing to take a hometown discount to stay when Ja'Marr Chase's deal is up? Is Ja'Marr Chase okay with saying, you know what, I don't want to be the highest paid receiver. I'll just be the eighth paid receiver in the NFL. Are those guys willing? Because we just saw an offseason where Jesse Bates left to go to Atlanta. Von Bell left to go to the Panthers. Hayden Hurst went to the Panthers on a big deal. So it doesn't only take Joe Burrow, but it takes the guys around him. But then also, you look at Patrick Mahomes. When he signed his deal, he was the highest paid quarterback on salary over the course of the deal, on per year. All of those different numbers that you just alluded to. The Kansas City Chiefs just won the Super Bowl again last year with Mahomes signing a mega deal, still being able to keep the guys around him. So as I look at Joe Burrow, maybe he doesn't have to top the market and say, all right, now I'm the highest paid in this, that category, where it's three different categories where now he's the highest paid quarterback. But I don't expect Joe Burrow, when you look at that list of the top quarterbacks, to say, you know what, I'm okay with being eighth on that list, and that's fine. Maybe he doesn't have to be number one, and maybe that's the discount where, hey, I'll come in at number three and be amongst the top in the entire NFL. But the challenge to me always is you look at, you can say Tom Brady, who you just alluded to. Did he always have the best weapons around him of guys taking discounts? Or was it kind of veterans choosing to come play with Brady that maybe weren't in the prime of their careers to do so? So that's the question mark, is if he takes that discount, do the Bengals go out and get the offensive weapons around him, the guys he wants? Because he's not always in control of who gets the money at the same time.
That, this idea of, oh, I'll be the eighth highest receiver, they don't want that. They want to be the number one. And for people like us, it gets exhausting. And I think at some point, the conversation gets really tacky. The outlier word is interesting to me because we keep waiting for one to be the I thought maybe Lamar might be the outlier. Mm-hmm. Lamar's not the outlier. He just went and got it. And it comes to this point where so-and-so has $230 million guaranteed. Well, I have $190 million guaranteed. That's 17%. Does that make a difference in your lifestyle? Does that make a difference in your life, in your grandchildren's life? Over a year, you invested properly. Does it really? And it comes down to, so that's $40 million bucks. Would you, as a star quarterback in the NFL, pay $40 million to win a Super Bowl? Would you pay $40 million to win two Super Bowls? Would you pay $40 million to be a Hall of Famer? Because if you win two Super Bowls, you're probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I just think it's interesting to me that you're paying these guys, Lamar, Burrow, Rodgers, et al., to all this group to win championships. And most of them are not going to. Like, almost all of them are not going to, because the easiest part, the easiest way to win a championship is take less money. It's a real life thing where, Jason, you can relate to this as a player. All right, $10 million bucks. I could take it and I could buy like the sickest house in Hawaii, and God bless me, and that's my house. Or I could buy a wide receiver three who makes two big catches in the playoffs and I win a Super Bowl. I think 10 or 15 years from now, we're in this Kentucky Derby race for more money and most money. We're going to look back on like a whole bunch of guys who are like, man, they made a lot of money and they never won squat. Just nothing. And you look at guys now, look, I hate to bring them up, but Cousins and Dak, like, one of the first things we always say about them is how much money they're making.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, great. Sam Bradford, you want to get into all of them? And there's always these stats they put out about career earnings. Like, what about career winnings? Because I don't see much of it at all. And I look at somebody, a real life example. You always hear, highest paid actor in the world, Dwayne Johnson. Has he ever made a good movie? Or is it just like, just money, 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 money? And that's fine. If that's what you want to do, go ahead and buy yourself all the Hawaii houses you want. But we live in this industry of pure direct competition where I really still think that means something. And if Joe Burrow wants to give money back to get a new tight end, it'd be incredible. If he wants to take it all, that's on him. At some point, someone is going to have to try to take less to win, and not earnings, winnings. And I don't know who it's going
to
be.
It's an interesting awareness for Joe Burrow to have because the quarterback, they 98% of the time are the face of the team or the face of the division or the league. And it's almost like, okay, you, my quarterback, have to make the concession because you get to be that guy. I'm over here being a wide receiver and no one really pays as much attention to me or the running back. So therefore, you take your money down. I want to get paid as like number one, two, or three. But the quarterback then, obviously any quarterback discount we ever hear, it goes back to the one that did it best or most strategically, and that's Tom Brady. Now, I have a complicated screen I want to show you, but this is what it looks like when Tom Brady got drafted. The money he made year after year when he got extended, two restructurings you see on that list in 2013 and again in 2019. What's interesting about Brady's career is that between 2011 and 2022, there was only a single season that Tom Brady was the highest paid player in the NFL. A single season he made the most money. He was never the biggest cap hit to his team in the time that he was making his money. Mm-hmm. How many Super Bowls did he win? How many teams did he do that for? That one year that he won the Super Bowl for Tampa Bay, he was the highest paid player. But of the top five, three of them were on the offensive line for offensive paid players. So he knew, I think, had an awareness. It also helps when you marry a wildly successful.
That's not insignificant.
It's not insignificant. We've talked about it on the show. That's what it looks like when you want to pay your offensive line. So awareness is key. Maybe the fact that Joe Burrow has made it to a Super Bowl, he knows what it's going to take. Maybe he even has awareness for what it takes to get over the hump. I mean, he knows the sacrifices. For him, it might not just be about generational wealth. Like that, the other things are important.
He's gonna get
to
it
him.
Too, though. Like that's the thing. Like that's, even in this conversation, generational wealth is coming. Like
yeah.
So, like, right,
it's just
right.
How much. So to me, when we talk about like he got the bag and we did this, we congratulate. Like, that's a tweet. That's an Instagram post. But at the end of the day, that's gonna fade and someone else is gonna get it and it's gonna get it. And we keep on going. To your point, like if he's fifth on the list, and that means you get T. Higgins.
Mm-hmm. The struggle, though, is we sit at this desk and it's just like, all right, am I willing to take a lot less for you to remain here? Am I willing to take less for you to remain here? Because at the same time, I can look over at a neighboring network and say, well, this so-and-so is doing less than me. He's getting more money than me. Am I willing to look around everybody and say, you know what? I'm going to take less than him, less than what I possibly am worth to say, all right, to remain here? Because we can look at each other and say, oh, yeah, we love each other. But when your contract is up and you feel like, well, hey, I took less on my last deal. I don't want to take less again. Mm-hmm. So I think that factors in, too. Yes, their money is far greater.
I get it.
But at the same time, hey,
why shouldn't I get what I'm doing? I get it. Mm-hmm. There's a salary cap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just saying, if you're in that AFC with all those teams, with all those quarterbacks and all those weapons, if the difference to your point is $10 million and you end up being able to keep one of those wide receivers, it's a conversation to
be had. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the value in winning, to Kyle's point, the Super Bowl, becoming a Super Bowl winning guy years from now from a marketability standpoint, comes into play. Still to come on Good Morning Football, we're playing a game. And people are very excited about it. So you might have heard the NBA draft lottery was last night. Pop runs away again with the number one overall pick. The GMFB quarterback draft lottery is happening, this morning. Commissioner Kyle Brandt, freshly shaven, is getting ready to make picks.
I did a straight razor shave this morning so I can closer embody the commissioner. Which NFL stars can we not wait to see back in the field in 2023? The comeback guys. Who needs to have a big bounce back season? Is Matthew Stafford? That's probably Peter's answer right after this.
Cooper Kupp.
Maybe both.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
name. That's my game, bro.
Time for Whiteboard Wednesday, presented by Ram Trucks. When asked about expectations for Michael Thomas heading into the season, Saints GM Mickey Loomis told reporters he thinks the former All-Pro receiver can get back to form and reclaim a role as a 100-catch receiver. The player that you would most want to see return to form in 2023 is, Peter.
Okay. We've had about an 18-month hiatus. The last time we saw him was the first half of a Super Bowl, not this year, but last year. Let's go Odell Beckham. Mm. Odell Beckham and the Baltimore Ravens. Let's bring back Odell. He was having one of the greatest games Super Bowl history, one quarter in. He was unstoppable in that game, and I know McVay's game plan was to feature Odell and let them double cup and let Odell go nuts. Well, now he goes to the Baltimore Ravens after a year away, a year rehabbing. He was not out of our orbit. I think Ian Rappaport had a report every single week saying, here's what the latest on Odell Beckham is. He ultimately signs with the Baltimore Ravens, and Lamar soonly thereafter follows. It'd be pretty cool. Todd Monken's offense is different than Greg Roman's. They're going to use wide receivers. There was a list up on the NFL Twitter, I want to say, this week. Most Instagram followers of current NFL players. I believe Patrick Mahomes was number two, something about 8 million Instagram followers. Odell Beckham has 17 million in Instagram, more than double than every other player in the league. Odell Beckham, let's go.
You know, we need that to work out. If it doesn't work out in Baltimore and for some reason Baltimore wants to move on from him, then we have to have a whole nother round of landing spots for Odell and where's he going and when's he going. I want that to
Plenty
work
of years
out.
Left of Good Morning Football. Yeah.
Work out. I hope he has 2,000 yards this season.
Great content from Odell Beckham. I am going to Tua time in South Beach. I want to see Tua return to form of what he looked like in the beginning of last season. You keep seeing those full screens of boards of Tua was first in QBR and completion percentage. Forget about all of that. With Tua out there, the Miami Dolphins have a chance to contend for a Super Bowl. And Tua, Mike McDaniel, the personalities on that roster, it just makes the Miami Dolphins a lot of fun to watch, to hear what Tyreek Hill is going to say next, to see him and Waddle running around that football field with Tua getting them the ball. I want to see Tua back to form, a guy who struggled early on in his career, who looked really good last season when healthy. So I want to see Tua back this year better than ever.
We're all pulling for Tua. Yes. I'm zagging hard on this. This is an oldie but a goodie, a Good Morning Football favorite. Return of the King. Marquette King, come on home. You know who Marquette King is?
Yes. Yeah.
Marquette King is an old Raiders punter who was a great, great personality, who was a second team All-Pro. Things got weird. He was out of the NFL. Do you know, like, everything's coming up Marquette King right now? Do you know he just won the XFL championship? Oh. He is a champion with the Renegades. He has a new album. We're number zero, the number of NFL teams that wanted him on the roster. Maybe a bit of a disruptive personality back in the day, maybe. But my God, he could kick that pigskin. He has an album. He has a championship. He's tweeting back and forth with The Rock with their XFL ties. Come on home, Marquette. Wherever you are, great Good Morning Football guest, great punter. Jason, what's so funny?
The punter with the arm sleeve, the album. Too much going on for my punter.
That's what
shredded.
Everyone right now is like, oh, King.
Yeah.
So sweet. It's Marquette King. Come
his song,
on down.
Sit Down is a top 100 song
it's
right now.
It's charted, yeah.
Country California Girl, Marquette King. I love it.
That's country awesome. California, not California awesome. Country Girl. My brain wants it to go the other way, but.
No, it's those girls with stagecoach with the boots and all the dresses. We love them. They're great.
Oh, man. Kyle, your guy's at it again.
What?
Josh Allen and oh, okay. Matt Barkley showed off their baseball
just
skills.
Just jacking dingers.
Yeah, right. Like, hey, I'm free. Want to come up to Toronto and have an unofficial home run derby ahead of the Yankees-Blue Jays game? Sure. Clearly, the Bills quarterback room knows how to have a good time. So let's ask this. The quarterback room that you would most like to hang out with would be?
I want to hang out with Stetson Bennett. This is a guy got to college in 2017. It came out yesterday that he still doesn't have his degree. So do the math. I don't know how that works out. It means that we're figuring it's still Alfred Stetson. But I do know this. 2 championship rings. This guy's a winner, and he and Stafford both are these Georgia Bulldog types. Remember, Stafford, of course, was the highest recruited quarterback ever to choose to go to Georgia. Bennett was not. Bennett waited his time. He's been there about 11 years. I think he's 32 years old. He was drafted in the 4th round, and I feel like these guys, it's a good Southern old time, and the two of them, they can hang. Stafford, very serious about football, but he's got a lighter side. Bennett, very serious about football, certainly has a lighter side. I make no joke of some of his off-the-field stuff, but I do say this. He is funny. I watch his interviews. Oh, yeah? He's got a personality. I would like to hang with them. Not out of the club. I'm talking about in the quarterback room.
Can I push you for a detail? What's Stetson Bennett's relationship status? Is he a married man, girlfriend, anything like that?
No.
His name is Stetson Bennett. He's showing up in
the
L.A.?
Two championship rings.
L.A., look it's out, baby.
4 times over Stetson Bennett.
Relationship status.
It's start your engines.
It's complicated. I'm going from the Rams, and I'm going to hang out in the Seahawks quarterback room. I want the spicy Geno Smith, the one who was talking trash last year about writing, not writing back, riding around, coming in, doing the gritty. His coach is behind him on a scooter. They just look like they're having a blast in Seattle, and I'm all for that. Let's hang out. Let's have a good time. And then beyond Geno, you have Drew Lock as the backup quarterback. And the one thing I remember from Drew Lock, he seems like a lot of fun. Sitting on the bench, rapping Young Jeezy, I put on. Me and Drew Lock, let's go take out the town. Let's have a blast. I'm a Young Jeezy fan as well. So Drew Lock, after the game, he saw this video and was like blacked out. Like, I don't even know what I was listening to. It was put on by Jeezy. You was rapping, you were in your zone. And he said, oh, my goodness, but I was spitting. Yes, you were spitting, Drew Lock. Let's go out. Let's have a good time. Let's hit a karaoke bar, all of that. Rap some Young Jeezy.
I hope Drew Lock gets after it for the rest of his career because I don't want him in like 15 years going on some iHeart podcast and be like, remember that time you were rapping on the sideline? Like that's been covered and it's a really cool moment. I want some football memories from Drew Lock too because he seems like a good guy. You want to know which quarterback room I want to hang in?
Yeah.
I'm just going for awkward. What's the most awkward quarterback room? I think it's this one. This is the eek emoji. If you type in eek or wince, that's what comes up. Tannehill's like, so let me get this straight. Last year, you drafted that guy to replace me, and that didn't work out. So now you drafted that guy to replace me. Are you going to draft another guy next year, and it'll just be me, and I'll be kindergarten cop with 6 little babies in here, and then I go out and be a professional and make plays? That's a weird room. I remember the Tannehill bite about it's not his job to teach Malik Willis. Mm-hmm. Probably feels the same way about Will Levis. It's Willis. It's Levis. It's a weird room, guys. Really weird. Mm-hmm. And you also have Tannehill, who's not like Rodgers with Jordan Love. It's a little bit vulnerable in terms of his job. So everything I feel like might be very tight there, and I kind of want to be part of that. It's not a good place to hang. Just a good part to just cringe and just people watch. That's my room. It.
There is a long list of rooms for sure that you want to get in there just to figure out what is going on.
Yeah.
What the personalities are like. 45 years ago today, Nolan Bushnell founded the first Chuck E. Cheese.
Awesome.
Yes, he did, Nolan. Way to go. In San Jose, California. Famous for its pizza, good times, arcade games, animatronic shows. Sure.
Nice.
It quickly became a hotspot for kids' birthday parties. The best birthday party you ever had as a kid was where, Peter Schrager?
Okay, I've got to write it out.
Peter, Chuck E. Cheese, where the E stands for?
Entertainment.
That rat's name is Charles Entertainment Cheese. That is a hell of a government.
He's a rat. Actually, delicious pizza at a Chuck E. Cheese. I frequent one recently. Let's go here. It's 1990, I'm a kid in Freehold, New Jersey, yes. which is central New Jersey, and they opened something called the Freehold Raceway Mall. Mm. And it was a new mall, and there was the pretzel place and the ice cream place, and there was a little arcade in the food court called Time Out. And my mother and father gave all of my friends a sleeve of quarters, and we had 10 that's friends great. Come.
I like that
and
sleeve.
Said, just go nuts, yeah. go wild. Yeah. Pizza afterwards from Kyle's favorite place, Sbarro.
Hi, baby.
And I'll tell you what, to be in the food court as a 12-year-old kid, hair flowing, playing NBA Jam, playing Street Fighter, playing Ninja Gaiden with unlimited quarters at the time. There was nothing like it. I had all the power in the world. Mm. I didn't even go on the carousel ride afterwards. I was such a big boy. I was like, I don't need that carousel ride. I am sticking right here in the arcade, hanging with the teenagers. Time out. If you know, you know.
You know what I like? The Traegers went to the bank before the party to get those little quarter rolls. Those sleeves things are awesome.
Put it right on the arcade.
Yeah, I got next. Yeah, I'm Pit Fighter.
Let's go. Pit Fighter was good.
I went back to, like, you know when you go bowling, you can do, like, night bowling and, like, balls bounce. Yeah. No, I went
Cosmic bowling.
Cosmic bowling, thank you. I went night roller skating.
Yeah.
Night roller skating. And I was 12, I believe, and there's, like, a lot of, like, awkward, like, sweaty hand-holding happening where you're like, well, let's, like, I think I'm going to date you. Let's hold hands and skate at the same time. Talk it sounds like a terrible idea. Specifically, though, at a great place, great establishment in Minnesota called Cheapskate.
Love that title.
Cheapskate Roller Rink. It was nighttime rollerblading, roller skating, and...
arcade there?
Probably, but I was more into the skating and like attempting to go backwards.
Can you tell us the boy's
name? And no.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't want to or don't remember?
Don't remember.
Oh, okay, good. That's a different answer.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to say
which. How about that? Can't.
Yeah. I thought she was going to say which one. I too had a party at a rolling skate. It was the Montvale Roller Rink.
Yes.
And then also there was one at an arcade called Whirligigs. Now, I think the mark of a really good birthday back in the day is neither one of these establishments are still open.
Oh, no.
None of them are open. I think that was the best part. No, it got demolished. Yeah, it got demolished a little while ago. But a blast. Friends running around crazy. The funny thing about me at the skating rink, I never knew how to skate. So having a party there, Jamie said awkward hand holding. No, that was the entire plan. You go there and you need help to be able to make it around the rink. So you have to hold my hand. And that was an opportunity.
What was her name?
Oh my goodness. Which one? That's what I was thinking.
Like back then, you were some sort of Casanova? Like we're talking about junior high.
It's got Z Cavaricci's on.
There's two of them. What do you expect?
Yeah. Well, this is an incredible thing. I'm just going to turn this around. The roller rink, it was the only kind of party anybody was interested in. I'm a little bit older, so I mean, this is like 1990 at the Lombard Roller Rink in the Chicago suburbs, a hotbed for roller rinks back in the day. They were spouting up everywhere. They were like a Top Golf now, like, because you had to have a cool roller rink. And I remember the girl, name was Sarah, and I remember the song, and it was Color Me Bad, I Adore, Mia Moore, and you had to get out there and you had to hold hands. And my hand was like the, you know, the Jordan Peele gif where you just, that was my hand. And, I mean, it was leaking on the floor, and you just do this stupid little thing. But, man, I mean, at 10 years old, holding hands with a girl and skating around the rink, it felt like Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, like, it was incredible.
It starts off, and it's, you can't touch this, and it's Ice Ice Baby, and then the music comes
lighting
down.
Lighting change. Wow. Music comes down.
And the disco ball
starts my
going.
God.
Do you think Sarah remembers that moment as
hell
well?
Hell, yeah, she does.
Oh,
and
my God.
And we did it again with Everything I Do For You by Brian Adams off the Prince of Thieves soundtrack, and that was everywhere.
My hands are sweating just thinking about this.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game.
Welcome back to Good Morning Football as we continue having a really fun show here. We're talking quarterbacks all morning. What you're looking at now is a list of quarterbacks who were the last to throw 4,000 or more yards for their respective franchises. The last quarterback to do it for your team. Okay, so Burrow makes sense. This is 2022. Goff, 2022. But you start going screeners down the list as you go team by team by team. And you start seeing the years start trickling away a little bit. The last Falcon to do it was Matt Ryan in 2020. The last Colt was Phillip Rivers. Keep it going now. Let's keep going as we get further back. Patriots, Mac Jones hasn't done it yet, so it's Brady. Now you're looking at Joe Flacco as the last Ravens passer. But wait, some franchises have even longer than that wait? Yes. Tannehill, the last Dolphin. Come on, Tua. Peyton Manning, the last Bronco to do it.
Oh, man.
And then we get down to the sweet spot here.
The Niners one as well.
Jeff Garcia as the last Niners one to do it. Warren Moon, the last Oiler slash, I guess, whatever you want to call that now, right? Oiler Texan.
Yeah, Titan, Texan. Titan. They all run together. Titan. Yeah.
Sorry, Jason. Yeah. I'm looking at that list. There are some shocking names and droughts. Which one stands out the most to you?
I'll stick right with, you said, the franchise, Oilers, Titans.
And couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, it gets a little confusing, but it's definitely the Titans, Oilers. Yeah. Warren Moon, back to 91, you haven't seen anybody in the 2000s. And the impressive thing is Warren Moon did this at 35 years old, then at 39 for Minnesota, went for over 4,000 yards again. Which of these teams is the next one to have 4,000 yards? You saw the Bears had none, but these other ones going way back out of the 2000s, it's insane to think it's been that long in a straight passing league this now that is being played. But Warren Moon, so fun to watch that number one jersey, that Oiler blue, a ton of, it's just so cool to see those highlights.
The date that comes to mind when I see it is September 17th, 1920. That was when the Chicago Bears were established as an organization, and they have zero. It's an amazing thing. You start saying, hold on, Cutler must have done it. Oh, no, no, Cutler never did it. Grossman, no, Trubisky, nobody. There's been 217 times a player has thrown for 4,000 yards since the modern era, 1960, and zero Bears. You know what's crazy? There's a second list that the 33rd team could put out about the times that a player has thrown for 30 touchdown passes. It's 148 times. Bears, zero. Also zero on that list. And I think at one point there was probably a pride in this, that this is, you know, Bear football and we run the ball, blah, 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 and play defense. I don't know if that era is still there. And yet I look at Fields. I don't think Fields is throwing for 4,000 yards anytime soon. I don't even know if they want him to throw for 4,000 yards. I think it's the Bears. Only one out of 32 is zero, including some wild ones.
It's an incredible list. I think of the last few years in Cleveland where there's been some optimism at the quarterback position. Baker Mayfield had that run. They went to the playoffs. Deshaun Watson. We're expecting this year to take a leap and to have that team in a better place than they were last year. But I also think of that famous jersey in the storefront with 23 different quarterback names, everything. You want to go through Brandon Whedon to Brian Hoyer to whoever else.
Jake DeLong, Colt McCoy,
Jason Campbell. The list was long.
Derek Anderson.
So many quarterbacks, and yet
Spurgeon
last one to throw for 4,000 yards was Brian Sipe in 1980. Brian Sipe is an awesome story. Brian Sipe was the MVP of the league in 1980. Team the Cardiac Kids. They came back late in 79 and finished the season strong. And then in 1980, they go on and they become a playoff team and have one of the great miracle run teams. He threw for 4,132 yards and 30 touchdowns. It was their first playoff berth since 1972. Of course, the Browns season ended on a disastrous loss to the Raiders with the famous play, Red Right 88, where Brian Sipe unfortunately throws a pass that's intercepted that was intended for Ozzie Newsome in the playoffs. Browns fans still moan about that one, but Sipe, 1980, we see you, Brian Sipe, pride of San Diego State, former Aztec.
That's very cool.
That is cool. That's really cool.
4,100 yards in 80.
I found seeing the names that repeated are cool for the guy. I feel like kind of bad for the franchise where it happened to, like, there's been so many. So I saw Kirk Cousins' face twice. Mm-hmm. He's done it with the Vikings, but then also with Washington. And it made me think, that only happened back in 2017 and 18. How many guys have started for quarterback for Washington since then? It's 12 guys. Mm-hmm. It's 12 guys. Anyone from Taylor Heinicke started 24 all the way down to Sam Howell still has just that lone start. He may be the guy moving forward. But the fact that you have that many guys trying their damnedest to get 4,000 yards since Kirk Cousins did it after the 2017 season is pretty remarkable. But also, Washington, where are we going here? What direction is your car going?
Damn, Carson Wentz. It should have worked out differently. I hate seeing that up there. Yeah.
This is always a fun thing to check in on time to time. Top-selling jerseys from April, according to NFLShop.com. Aaron Rodgers, number 8, Jets jersey. Tops charts, number 1. Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, so on and so forth. Odell Beckham Jr. is a Raven, still hanging around. A lot of young people, though, heading to the shop to pick up one of those. It is a cool jersey. First jersey you ever bought, Jason?
It was an Emmitt Smith Navy jersey. Got it for Christmas.
Ooh, and this Navy.
This was big for me because in the wintertime, my mom would make me wear long sleeves. And it'd be those kind of dress shirts that we got at like a Bradley's or a Caldor's. Mm. Both department stores closed down. And I would put a football jersey in my book bag and would sneak it into school and would change in the back.
Hell yeah.
Because I felt like I had to be a cool kid. And one of those jerseys in rotation was the 22 Emmitt Smith.
Peter, you were sneaking in the Big Johnson t-shirt to school, weren't you?
Go ahead, naked.
That's it, baby.
Emmett turned 54 yesterday.
I saw that.
Yeah. That blows my mind. I was a wise guy when I was a kid, so I had the Warren Moon because it said Moon on the back. I thought that was funny.
Pull your butt
I also
down.
I also had Marion Butts because
it's Peter.
If you guys don't know Marion Butts, he was a big. This is how running backs used to look in the NFL.
Oh my God.
He was like a Okoye Light, and he was playing for the Chargers, and he just had the word Butts on his back, and I would walk into elementary school with the word Butts on my back, and I thought it was hilarious. They couldn't suspend me. It was his name. So Marion Butts, and I would tell everyone, Butts, Butts, awesome. Butts, Butts, Butts. If you're watching at home and you're a kid, go get the Marion Butts throwback. You can wear it to school.
It's a bad thing for this younger generation that Jake Butt didn't work out, the tight end.
Yeah,
it would have been the sequel. Rodgers is number 8. My first jersey was number 8. In 1992, the coolest jersey in the world was not Emmitt or Favre. It was the Dream Team basketball jerseys, and I didn't have Pippen, Jordan. I didn't have Jordan number 9. I went Pippen. Number 8. Pippen. Jamie, where'd you go?
I match you with John Stockton, too. I wasn't allowed to buy jerseys, but if I could have, I would have.
Jazz or Dream Team?
Jazz.
Oh, that's cool.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Digital trends show up every day in business decisions and actions. West Monroe is the number one strategic partner translating technology into financial value for companies. The This Is Digital podcast applies West Monroe's 2 decades of secrets and best practices to your business's benefit. Favorite past topics from the last 3 seasons include how AI and the next generation of employees are shaping the workplace, becoming a product company, Highmark's journey, and what does it mean to put the customer first? Learn more at westmonroe.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.